Hello, welcome into episode 184 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with manipulation, what's a crack, mum section, the swap section coming up, and the me section. This episode is kindly sponsored from my lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to their requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on her website, please give her a call. The number is on the website www.scotchtweed.co.uk and is a UK free phone number. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Manipulation. Now, I was having my own blether with my Sandy the other day, and he's a school bairn, and with that comes childish behaviour. Human's ways of learning how to deal with people. He was bemoaning about someone who he doesn't care for, and I said that you need to stop moaning about them and change your behaviour towards them. I wish I'd learned this at an early age. I thought I then go look up difficult behaviour and how to deal with them for him, and of course, myself. It's good to get a refresher, and I looked up manipulative people. Well, we all know one of them, don't we? We are all manipulating each other to some degree all of the time. For most part, it's not negative behaviour, and maybe we don't quite realise that we're doing it. For instance, I suggest you might want to do a sock swap, and you think, yes or no, and then yes, before you know it, you cast on, you've bought more yarn, and whilst you're enjoying it, you thought, oh, I wasn't going to knit anything else until I finished that jumper that's been in my queue for years. But then, I quite like this yarn. Oh, these new needles are nice, and ooh, I like these. I think I'll make these again. And then I go, well, we have coffee, and oh, I think I'm going to have a bit of cake. And you go, can I have some? There goes the diet. The little things, they can be quite nice. Teachers can maybe manipulate their behaviour when they try to guide their charges into the right direction. It's when it gets beyond that that it can be unpleasant for both parties concerned. I got the following from www.wayofthemind.com manipulative people. These are some of the main traits of manipulative people. A question disguised as a statement. Making personal statements and pretending it's someone else's. Guilt trips. Confrontational statements, the silent treatment, the no way out treatment, lies. Now I'm not going to go through this one by one because it's kind of detailed, and I want you to read it yourself to make time and digest it and think, oh yeah, that's how I want to see. As we are all victims of the, I should say that, later ons. I know currently someone who is in the silent treatment section of this, having been through the rest of the stages concurrently. And I knew they were doing it, and I wanted to rearm myself with how to deal with it. The silent treatment suggestion is to state, let me know when you feel like talking, which has been wheeled out. Thankfully, I don't have to deal with this person on any kind of regularity, but I'm all over this. I really, really don't like being played or manipulated, and of course, I have over the years. I'm quite sure everybody does, and nobody likes it. So I hope I can arm you with both sides of this coin. Don't be a manipulator and don't be manipulated. To lighten the subject and to steer the good ship Caithness Craft Collective back to the craft, did you know we are on a ship today? I will say that I think manipulation when crafting is a good skill to learn. Question mark. Going up the end of my sentence. Right. Who here's, come on, pay attention. Who here has purled when they should have knit back a row? Or missed an increase the line down? Or use the wrong colour in their fair isle. Or when making a card, got a bit of ink in the wrong place, just as you're almost finished. Or when you're dyeing yarn, you've dropped one teeny, eeny, miny, peeny, weeny, moo piece of dye onto the yarn in the wrong place. You on the boat? Yes, you. Was it you? Not you and the bus. You get this week off. What about you in the car? Are you hoovering? Are you out running? Are you, even with your hand in the toilet, scrubbing it like there's no tomorrow. In your case, Just keep your hands down, don't put your hand up. We don't know, we'll be covered by your bog brush. We only do put your hands up on the bus. Bus people, stand down. Back to looking, disinterested, vaguely out the dirty window. You can't actually see out of properly, but you don't want to make eye contact with that weirdo currently coming down the aisle in case they sit beside you. Okay, so this is about we've made a mistake somewhere and we don't want to throw the entire piece away. No, Naomi, you can't do this. Not for this play though. Well, manipulation of craft is a good life skill to add to your bows. Think of it as we have our quiver of arrows. You can be your favourite arrow-toting hero. And there's quite a few. Legolas, most of the elves from Lord of the Rings. Merida from Brave. Hawkeye from the Avengers. Katniss Evergreen from the Hunger Games. And even Robin Hood. Robin Hood, Riding Hood, riding through the glen. Pick your one. Or your merry men. Now, each craft skill is a new arrow. I don't quite know what we're shooting here, but Valentine's isn't far away, so let's pretend it's a wee heart like Cupid. Did anyone pick the wee chubby Cupid? Oh, he's so cute. I don't think he thinks that, but... Knitting is an arrow. Crochet, reading patterns from charts, reading badly written patterns and understanding them. Appreciating well written patterns. Stay tuned for more of that later in this episode. Sewing is a huge amount of arrows. Even knowing how to thread the machine is a good sturdy arrow, as goodness knows how many times you will thread that thing for just one tiny project, never mind over its or your life cycle. I think of being able to manipulate your errors as an arrow. If you don't like the word manipulate, then change it for fix. You know that if you have dropped that stitch or person on the boat, you can use a wee crochet hook or or just the knitting needle to pick it back up again. Sometimes you'll really have to work out the way round your stitches go, and doing that a few times it'll be easier to do it the subsequent times, and you'll not be so feared of dropping a stitch or making an error. It'll give you confidence. You'll also realise that a tiny crochet hook in your craft notion pouch you got from the little grey girl is such a fabulous piece of craft inventory, you wish everyone had one. All craft is a form of manipulation. You are fixing something to be from one form into another by various ways. If you're knitting, you're using the long piece of yarn and winding it, knotting it and wrapping it to make into beautiful garments. Maybe less than knotting, though. If you're sewing, first of all, the material doesn't speak to you to tell you what it wants to be. And, well, that happens quite a lot to me because I very much buy material before I know what to do with it. If I buy something with a purpose, it does tend to get used quicker. That could be an arrow for my quiver. Considered acquisitions instead of, oh, I'm just going to buy this and find out what it wants to be later. The guilt of having too much or not using it is also there. Remember why you bought it in the first place can be your arrow, or if it was a gift, then find a use for it, but don't feel that you have to make it straight away, but sometime soon. When sewing a garment, the most important thing to remember is that it is all in the fit. Even materials can be manipulated if they are not really right for the job to a point. They could just be lying to you. I mean, you wouldn't use a jute sack to make a fine undergarment, but you could maybe use polycotton instead of silk. Fitting something to your shape is really, really important, Arrow. If you pin and dart and lay it out and make it flatter your body shape, then you have the golden arrow right there. Don't be afraid of gaining your arrows. Now, we aren't actually going to shoot anyone or anything here. These are not real arrows. If this has touched something inside you and you think you're being manipulated by someone, then I hope that you can start to change your behaviour towards them. And your first arrows, remember, it's not you, it's them. Now go read that article. There's plenty of other difficult behaviours, but maybe for another blather. And there's plenty of help out there too. I'm kind of quite interested again in reading the energy vampire difficult behaviour trait. So Sandy has been told to look at how he deals with it and to accept that a lot of the time the person won't change, but if he changes his behaviour to deal with it, he'll be more at peace with himself, and I hope it's his golden arrow. I think we'll have a wee giggle, and here is a Sandy and Izzy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourself. A sandy hello to our new group member, Isk, who is Eleanor from Suffolk. She's taking part in the Cagney and Lacey swap. Random hellos are to London Sam, Constellation, Mimi D, J. M. Allen, Edna's Cat and Chris B.
What's the crack, said Trent.
What's the crack? Hello to new listeners from Reading Knit Now issue 84. Last episode I wasn't actually too sure about the Knit Now award for Online Innovator, but this episode I am. I am really delighted and thankful to say, yes, I did. I won the award for podcast of Online Innovator Knit Now 2018, and the prize is a trip to the Surtur factory at Wakefield in June. Lovely. If I had all the money, I would fly from Inverness to Leeds, Bradford, but June's Kelpman Triathlon Month, and also it's really busy at school, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get. But I would like to really thank the person or persons who nominated me, especially those in the bus for this one. You can all give yourself a clap. I am an award-winning podcast now, so I insist you clap. That person that sat down beside you, they did, didn't they? They always do. And all those other seats, they chose yours. Clap handy, daddy's coming home for his tea. Oh, off they've gone. Look at the crazy person clapping to themselves. I am not only an award winning, I'm a service provider. They've gone now. Seriously though, thank you very much, Knit Now. Especially you people on the bus. On to dog capes. I got a message from Gloria Haas and she asked me to mention this to you. Gloria Haas crochets custom-made dog capes and she also does a live Facebook show called Hand Sewn Sunday. The dog capes are from her own design and she sells them quite a reasonable price actually, $15 for small dogs and $20 for medium-sized dogs. This price does not include shipping. She does mail orders and her show is in regards to hand sew. She learned to sew by machine when she was in 7th grade, which is close to 50 years ago. 10 years ago she decided to take up hand sewing since she travelled a lot and we know that travelling isn't nice to sewing machines. Yes we do. Now she has a show every Sunday where she presents sewing demonstrations, talk about whatever she's using during her demonstration, zipper, bias tape, patterns. She relays information about what's going on in her business, handmade by Gloria Haas, and offers a free prize. She mixes in humour and high energy and she enjoys crochet and sewing. So you can go to www.gloriahaas.com dog apparel and you could use Gloria for some of your sewing and crochet arrows for your quiver. I was actually going to put this out on Friday but I think I have a busy week and I was doing Richard's podcast and I thought, oh, I can't face editing another podcast quite so soon. So on Friday I decided to knit. Sorry. And yesterday, very, very busy day. We did a duathlon in the morning, and in the afternoon we went swimming, and did food shopping, went to the library, and at night we had a late burn supper for the Harriers. I did the reply from the Lassie's toast, and, well, it was quite fun. And then they had drinking and Kayleigh in, and we had a really quite... Well, it was late home, and it had been such a busy day. I was supposed to do 10 miles this morning running and instead I'm doing this. So, lucky you! Now, Nick from Yarns for the Plane has asked me to mention that she's going to be doing some classes and happy to oblige, lovely Nick, because, especially, the first one she's doing is Palm Leaf Weaving for Kids. Oh, Nick, you're just doing it for kids! Sorry, Palm loom weaving is ace fun. We did it in a retreat last year and it's lovely. I still got my little, I made a coaster and then I use it all the time. And it reminds me of the fun we had. And I think of Angela and Nick and possibly Julia sitting winding those balls around the night before talking. However, you too can have this experience. And if you've got kids, the 20th of February, so it's coming up. And there's one in the morning, one in the afternoon, 5th of April, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. 2-hour holiday workshop. Nick's a qualified primer teacher will take you through the steps needed to weave, decorate your own piece of textile art using this handheld loom the size of your palm. all materials provided. And this is going to be at So Little Lottie, which is Hopley House, just south of Middlewich, Cheshire. Costs £15. Bookings can be through the Little Lottie shop on Facebook. And then, on the 3rd of March, Introduction to Acid Dyeing, and you are get to go to Weaversham Scout Hall in Cheshire. Costs £55, and it's a full day workshop, and you get the chance to explore different dyeing techniques using dyeing a skein of yarn to take home in your own exclusive colourware. I think you probably learn an awful lot. Nick's really, really, but she was a teacher, but she's a good teacher. She will manipulate you in ways you never thought you'd know, but in a teachery way of guiding you, not manipulating you. Yeah, pretend I just didn't say that. So hopefully some of you will take up some of them classes, and if they were closer, I'd love to go. Sewing blogs. Well, I was in the library on Friday night waiting for Daisy, and whilst Sandy was getting attended to by the wonderful Aaron the librarian, who suggested that he tried out a new book series to him. I was flicking through the craft books. I went through the knitting ones. I had a look at a Mary Jane Mucklestone Fair Isle sort of compendium of different designers that she'd put together. Just a lovely book. And there was another couple, I can't quite remember, so mustn't have tickled enough interest to mention. And then I had another 45 minutes to kill, and I looked up a shelf and I thought, oh, there's the sewing books. Oh, there's a few. So I took the one I took out is called Soulicious Little Things by Kate Haxwell. It's got a couple of patterns in it I actually want to make, which is a project bag for two balls of yarn and double-handed oven gloves. I know I could figure out oven gloves. They're not exactly hard for me. Maybe for you, but for me, I've got an idea. But it's really nice when there is actually instructions and a pattern, and then you don't have to think. I quite like not thinking sometimes. The other book didn't take out, but I had a look through, was The Busy Girl's Guide to Sewing by Claire McLennan, and they have Made in Shade Maisonette, which is in London but previously of Glasgow. And I flicked through and thought, oh, some good tips in here. Stuff for your quiver of arrows, like if you're busy, chunk it. 30 days dedicated time, say throughout your day or throughout your week, and you will soon get through it, which is very true. We do that with spinning, and you can do that with sewing. They had a list of sewing blogs, which I thought I'd go through, but now I'm looking up the book on Amazon. It was published in 2011, so maybe the blogs will be out of date. The book was in pretty good nick for being that old, so I don't know how new the links will be. And I liked, actually, the connection was, well, they're from Glasgow. Now they're in London, slightly further away, but that was pretty cool. Nora, thank you for the card, it's really lovely, and I'm going to tell you about ravens next episode, so I've been thinking about them. Loch Ness Knitfest sent me a message, asked if I'd like to take a stand, but I'm running a marathon that day, so I can't. I replied, and weirdly they didn't get back to me. Wish me good luck. Loch Ness Knitfest on the 19th to the 22nd of October, and the prices are actually pretty reasonable if you're interested yourself. I would love to swing by my way down to the Speyside on the Friday, but I don't know if I'm going to manage to commit to it. Wouldn't it be a lovely kind of spoilery yourself kind of day, the day before, wouldn't it? Swan about the Yarn Festival, the day before the marathon. But I'll see.
The swap section.
On to swap. Cagney and Lacey, sock it to me. A long time ago, I referred to Louise Knit British podcast as Cagney to my Lacey because I decided she was Sharon Gless and I was Tyne Daly, mainly because Tyne Daly had the children. The two Louise podcasts with Land Keeping Law and Order and the Yarn Podcast Land of Scotland. So, now fast forward to Edinburgh Yarn Fest 2018. Blacker Yarns are again sponsoring the podcast A Lounge Area. Last year we had an amazing knit along before Edinburgh Yarn Fest using Blacker Yarns, and it was so much fun and brilliant to see so many items be made in the Blacker range. This year they're kindly hosting it again, and I think you can still sign up. They've got it on their forum page on Ravelry. I have signed up, but I haven't put any photos on because my socks are secret. So you've been paired up and you have to cast off by the 11th of March to coincide with the Blackbird Podcast. The swap can be at Edinburgh Yarnfest, or you can send it to your partner by the end of March 2018. Now, I'm swapping with Louise, I said. I'm nearly to the toe of the first foot. I need to find my friend with the same size of feet to try them out before I go further, otherwise it's going to be a bit guesswork. I'm hoping that she'll be there this afternoon. I'll go swimming. I'm amazed that the three of you finished a pair already. I hope it wasn't as fraught as it reads, lovely listeners, because Eva Owl is moving house. Wow. And because they see then, I think I've been manipulating you. But you're all free individuals. Remember that, free individuals.
Coming up, it's near.
Right, coming up. Mainly Edinburgh Yarn Fest. I mean, there's other things on the horizon, but this is the one that we're going to talk about just now. I'm just going to clarify to you that you cannot queue to get onto on Thursday if you don't already have a ticket. I didn't actually quite grasp that until the other day when I reread it all and thought, oh, I hope I didn't mislead you last episode. So if you don't have an advance ticket for the Thursday, don't bother going until the Friday or the Saturday. I don't know why, listeners. That's just the facts of the Z. So I'm going to be at the Podcaster Lounge. Oh, but certainly go on the Friday or Saturday if you don't have a ticket, because there's queuing to be done and queue entertainment. I seriously think queue entertainment should be a thing. Maybe Julie of Paris, lady from Instagram singing, maybe she could do that. She would be better at singing than I would. I could just go and shake my pom-poms wearing the tutu. Yeah. So I will be with lots of the podcasters in the lounge for the podcaster events. Pretty most of the time when I'm not shopping. I absolutely love hanging out with my retail pals too, but, well, I have to remember that they're there to sell their wares, and I don't feel that I could take up too much time as much as I'd love to. Now, retail pals, if you want a wee interview with me in the quiet, please get in touch and I can whisk you to a safe room and do such a thing. Or even if you just want to whisk away to the safe room, we can just go and sit. There is so much more news for the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. If you're not on their mailing list, get on the mailing list. There's the Kaylee, the tickets, I think they're out today. Now, last year they were sold out in a minute, and they've got more tickets available this year, but if you're wanting to go, be aware. In fact, by the time this is edited and out, I think they'll have been all gone. Hopefully you've got one, but I am not going, I don't think, because I'm going out for dinner with the other podcasters, and I actually think, to be honest, I don't think Louise wants me to stand on her toes this year. There is also Meet the Shepherdess event on the Sunday, which is awesome. I can't tell you so wholesome it is. Berlin Yarns from the Hebrides has my eye, and Black Isle Yarns as well. Remember what I said, other fringe events, they are as good looking as my fringe, because I was at the hairdressers this week. I had all of like 6 millimetres off all over, but because she straightened it, everybody noticed and nobody recognised me. Oh, Louise! Oh, you've had your hair done! Yeah, you mean I didn't look gorgeous like this all the time? Back to fringe Edinburgh Yarn Fest events. There are knit nights, there's a corn exchange one, and others out in the city. Now, what you want to do is reach out to your Ravelry internet-y friends who aren't actually axe-wielding murderers, because, well, that's me. Yes, I'm afraid I murdered a mouse once. And own an axe for chopping wood, for clarity. But everybody else, reach out for me. Yeah, reach out. And find out first if your pals are going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest, then what day, where they're staying, where you can meet, are they going to the knit nights? And this is going to start you on new friendships. We already have lots of things in common. Firstly, me. I'm your first in common. Hiya. Then other podcasts that you could maybe discuss, find new podcasts to you. Then there's the big huge one, craft and yarn, and hours of discussions to come. So next episode, I think I'm going to sketch out a survival guide to the festival.
The grandma section.
Mum section. Here is the latest from my mum, who hasn't been on for quite a while. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
What are you laughing at?
Just I've got one sock on and one sock off.
That's because you've not quite finished the second one.
No.
Mum is sitting with her one finished sock on, which is lovely, and her half-finished one.
I turned the heel yesterday.
Oh, were you at Dornoch? You don't remember that?
Yes, yeah. No. No, that's right. That's where I learned it, didn't I? Sitting in your car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the way up from Glasgow. Yeah. Right, so I've not spoken to you for ages on the podcast. What crafty things have you been up to?
Learning Fair Isle.
Oh.
And we went to the workshop at Inverness Fest in, what month was it?
October.
Right. And wow, was good, wasn't it? Learning Fair Isle.
Very good.
It was supposed to be two colour, but three colours, you know, the basic colour.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got so far up, I realised that the wool, the pink wool what I was using, it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. So I pulled it out and decided just to do the two colours. And I did fingerless gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I've knitted two Fair Isle hats, mm-hmm. one for a boy, one for a girl, one had flaps. And I just, you know, I'm slowly improving with the tension.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
learning the continental way, yeah. style with your left hand, and the English, you know, knitting with your right hand. So
mm-hmm.
I've adjusted to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like knitting Fair Isle.
Good.
And
good.
There's so many lovely patterns out, and lots of people are knitting them.
Yes, it's quite obviously trendy. It's just
mm-hmm.
very useful to have another string to your bow. And Mum really only learnt this in the, let's say, she's not a spring chicken anymore. So, what's that phrase you use? You can teach an old dog new chicken. No, you're never too old to learn something new.
That's right. Oh, I thought you were going to say I was an ad wifey.
No, I was not. I'm sitting too close to you for a start. And my listeners would give me pelters. So.
And then I've just finished Buchel's coat.
Sorry, you were saying. What's this on my knee? This lovely, lovely strippy.
It's for Buchel. And when I went up to your house, you showed me your stash. And it was lovely. We're up for quite a long time. And you had said you would hardly have time to get around to knit Buckley's coat.
Mm-hmm. Buckley's my dog, just in case I've got new listeners.
Oh, yes. And so I volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
And the pattern that you chose was for a smaller dog. So
yeah, I went through Ravelry and tried to find a pattern for a similar-sized dog and using sport weight. And in the end, I had to go with what I thought was a similar-sized dog and double knit. And I didn't tell you that it was double knit because I knew it would put you off. But it's called Cosmos Coat and it's by Laurie Lee. And it is a free pattern on Ravelry. But hers is for a £20 mini schnauzer. I thought Buchel was about that, but no, Buchel's slightly bigger.
So I've had to work it out stage by stage.
Yes.
And fitment by fitment.
It's all in the fit.
I've never done as much measuring in, for different stages, but I finished it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I'm going straight home to put it on him. It's not it's not too cold for him today. He doesn't need it today. But he's going to be wearing it today, and there'll be lots of fit photographs on Instagram.
So, of course, The wool was called Buchel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was blue and charcoal grey.
Mm-hmm.
And the names were Squall and Between Weathers, mm-hmm. which I thought was super.
Yeah, this is Kate Davis Buchel, raised in Scotland, yarn. She's had it for quite a few years now. And I bought it. And I wanted it for me, basically. But my dog is called Buchel, and I said, wouldn't it be brilliant if we had Buchel the wool on Buchel the dog? on Buchalitev Moor, the hill. So we just need to make the second two come true, because Buchal has been on Buchalitev Moor, but not wearing his Buchal coat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lovely. What was it like to knit with Mum?
Because it was lovely wool, yes, and it's quite firm and it's lovely and soft as well.
Oh, it's really soft.
Uh huh.
Lovely.
And I just had to make the pattern up as I went along.
Mm-hmm. So we stood for ages in front of the wall of colour of all the different colours,
uh-huh,
trying to decide what colour would be best for Buchal, with him being quite an orangey kind of dog, so that's uh-huh why I went for blue.
yes, and it's quite good.
So what else are you knitting, Mum?
I'm knitting myself a jumper.
Oh!
Yes, I've had the wool in for a while, and it's double moss stitch.
Wow.
Up to the bottom of the
bust line.
Uh-huh. And then the pattern is completely different. Rib,
mm-hmm,
5 pearl,
mm-hmm,
and 1 plain.
Wow.
And it's quite bonny, isn't it?
Yeah,
quite effective.
It is.
So
is that the front?
That's the front. I did the front and the back the same to make them the same.
Clever.
And then I've started the sleeves last night.
Wow.
So it's a bonny colour, bonny blue.
Mm-hmm. It's double knit, is it?
Oh, yeah, double knit. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So
where'd you get that pattern from?
It's just, I think, a shop bought one.
Stylecraft Pavlova double knit 4633. I'll take a photograph of it so that listeners can get an idea of what it's going to be like.
Just remind them that's not me on the photograph. And after this is finished, I'm going to knit another jumper.
Ooh, you're
like
a proper jumper kick.
Well, I've knitted quite a lot of hats, and which reminds me, I knitted a hat for Daisy.
Oh, yes.
With the wool you mm-hmm that was something else I got along with Buchal's wool.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the wool's name, but I got it when I was at the Twin State summer camp. I was in my gift bag. It's what was it like to knit with, Mum?
Oh, it was lovely to knit with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two lots of different colours, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the continental style again.
Mm-hmm. This pattern was by our very lovely twin sister Ellen. Hi, Ellen. And it's called Stripe Domination. And it's a really good way of using two different colours and learning how to do the domination of colours with what hand you use most. And she was wearing it today. She's worn it quite a lot. It's nice and soft. Really, really nice wool.
Yes. And she wanted a pom-pom. And she wanted... you wanted a red in the pom-pom.
Yeah.
To match a...
Jacket. Yeah.
So what I did, I did some Swiss darning of around the last of the stripes with red.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, so like coordinated with the... Because
what I thought when I saw the picture, I thought you'd actually taken that back to that point, knitted it in and then got back up again.
No, I had the big book and I had on my knee and to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the Swiss darning. So I was quite pleased because I haven't done much Swiss darning, but it, you know, finished it off with the red.
That's mm-hmm lovely.
But it was quite ingenious the way it was, the stripes was done.
Mm-hmm. Ellen's very clever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what are you...
And I love our patterns because they just, you know, explain everything. And that's what I need.
Ellen, I didn't even ask her to say that. That's awesome. Are you sewing anything just now, Mum?
Yes, I'm finishing off a little black bag. What I just need to put glasses in and money.
Of
course. For church on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly for me glasses. And finish that off the bottom. I still have all the borders to do on my quilt. Mm-hmm. I've got the material, but not the time at the moment. But that is the next project. I've got the squares cut for the mm-hmm borders.
All right.
But I need to do more square, cut more squares, different colours.
Well, what have you got coming up?
What have we got coming? Oh, Edinburgh Quilting Exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks' time.
Is it 2 weeks' time? Wow. Are you excited?
I am. I went off last year to Birmingham and Glasgow. Glasgow in March and Birmingham in August. And I had never been away with a group of ladies before. Always with you, our family. And I really enjoyed it. So they asked this year, would I like to go back? Well, not back, it's to Edinburgh and back to Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of, I'll have to work out on what I would like to do before I go. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to buy material that I think, what can I make with? It won't be the other way round.
Yeah.
I'll go.
So
with,
you're going to have a little bit of time beforehand in preparation?
Yes.
Looking
yeah.
at what you can make
yeah.
and then what you would need to make it.
Yeah.
I did that before I went to Inverness because I was looking out for the bags for putting all the stuff in that we needed for the workshops. And because it was all beside my stash, I went through the stash and realised I didn't need any more wool, particularly. Or what I did want was specific.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
that's what I got.
You feel really good when you do that because...
Yeah.
you know, what can I do with
yeah.
with this bit? And what can I do with... Oh, I haven't got enough for that. And
yeah.
So it's really good when you're organised.
Mm-hmm. Right, Mum, well, I'll look forward to hearing all about Edinburgh soon. Mum's got workmen in today, so... Banging has started again. It's after lunch. Thank you, Mum.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I thought you'd really like that. I liked it. I love what she said about Ellen's pattern. Now, the yarn we couldn't remember was Haiku by Skeisel Kenzie. It's gorgeous. Looks lovely, knits gorgeous, and it's wearing lovely because Daisy, quite hard on her hat. But she's wearing it, and I'm delighted with it. And I wish I had more of it now. If you could just maybe organise a Boeing 747's worth to sort of land in my front field, that would be good. But mind you, don't drop it on the horse. I don't think the owner would like that.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. I'm working on the arboreal jumper by Jennifer Steinglass. I have bought the West Yorkshire Spinner's Gems Double Knit Wensleydale in Jasper Red and Natural Cream Ecru. And I didn't say this last episode, but I bought it from Brit Yarns Isla. Hello, lovely Isla. Hope you enjoyed our Orkney last week. The weather was atrocious, so I hope you were very warmly dressed in lots of wool. It's going to be a Santa coloured jumper. It's a patterned yoke down jumper, and at this precise moment of writing, I'm halfway through the chart on the yoke. I've done really very little in the past fortnight, but as I'm doing it as a knit along with the lovely Naomi, Sarah and Debbie, I thought I'd mention their progress. Sarah has so far had the most progress and she's finished. Barring blocking it and probably weaving in the ends, I know it's sickening, isn't it? But well done, Sarah. Very, very proud of you. Tried to say that without sounding paralysing. Failed miserably, but I am. Sick that I haven't finished mine. She did use short sleeves though, but she's very pleased because she didn't have, I'm going to say, happy needles for them, and she couldn't wait to finish the sleeves because I can't remember if they kept dropping off or if they weren't long or whatever, but she wasn't very happy doing the sleeves. And I think it was drops that she used. It is gorgeous. Now, she tried it on for Naomi and I, and whilst she said some of the colour work was making it quite tight, when she put it on, I didn't think it looked tight. So hopefully it'll give a little bit of the blocking. Don't you dare put that into a washing machine on spin, Sarah, because you really don't want it to shrink. Naomi was onto the short rows and did get a fair bit down. I think she was about her arms. Then she tried it on and she couldn't get it on. Now, Naomi is tiny. She is tinier than a tiny thing. She could fit into a pocket with Hannah and Amanda and still have room. And I'd go so far as to say that she's tinier than Amanda. But in a perfectly formed petite way. Not in she's still 10. But Naomi didn't throw it away. Well done. She calmly ripped it back, took her all night, and cast it back on. Hooray! Now, I'm not sure if she's gone up a size of needle or a size in the pattern, but she seems to be happier now because the moaning has stopped, and she was just about past the yoke the last I knew. And she's finishing off a jumper by Stephen West at the same time for her husband, which she is on the sleeves for. And I'm hoping this takes long because then my lack of progress won't show. Debbie has cast on so far and is on the pattern yoke. Keep going, Debbie, because then you'll be past me soon. Naomi has been absolutely fantastic at answering lots of the questions on this. She seems to have the knowledge when it comes to it. Hooray for having a knitting person to ask questions to. The Wizard of Oz patterns I was doing. I finished my Toto Dog by Sachi Ishio from the Knit Now issue 83. Sandy was quite delighted with them, but my version looked nothing like it. Very cute. Couldn't decide if it looked like a turkey or a frog without its head on, and I put the head on, and it's very cute. Very, very cute. And it's disappeared into the realms of children land in my house. It was made in pieces. Pieces took hardly any time to knit up, but the sewing did take quite a bit. And yeah, I have cast on the Tin Man, and I haven't really done much else than last episode. For my Cagney to Lacey Sock It to Me Blackburn Knit Along Swap, as I said before, I'm knitting for Louise Knit British, who wants a surprise. I'm knitting in the background, but kind of mentioning it as well. It's found quite difficult because, but I can put it on my Facebook page because Louise is not on Facebook. Kind of wish I wasn't on Facebook sometimes, but there you go. So if you want to see a photograph of my progress, there is where I talk about it. On here, I just talk about the technicalities. I'm using a pattern in the Getting Started Knitting Socks by Anne Budd, which is a really quite a good reference book for socks. I'd had it at the library twice, and in fact I ordered it now from the book depository when I was ordering a flute music book for Daisy. Seemed appropriate. Go hand in hand. Not. Now, for the sock, I tried the Norwegian cast on first because it's what she suggested in the book, is her favourite. But I really struggled getting it onto the four double-ended needles and then the first rowan pattern. So I took it off, then I used a long tail cast on, which left me with 3 inches of yarn and 5 stitches to make. So I took it off again. Then a long tail cast on, which left me in 10 inches, far too much. And I had made a mistake in the rib pattern, so I took it all out again. And at one point, I knitted with a cast on tail. Now you're nodding, yeah, you've done this too, yeah. You in the train, you're chortling, because no, you've never done it. I don't mind, you may mock me. I will take your mocking as I have surpassed that point. Ha! Does a Robin Hood slapping of thigh and putting hands on hips and looking wistfully into the distance going, ha ha, I'm on the toe. Well, I'm actually nearly at the toe. I said earlier, I need to get my friend to try it on, see how I'm getting on. Quite enjoying it, but because the needles are smaller, with it's a double knit, the fabric I'm getting is fantastic, it'll make great socks, but it's just that bit tuggy to work on, and I'm noticing that it's tuggy to work on, it's not kind of loose and floaty. So it's, I don't know, I'm quite enjoying doing it though. But I like this book and I like how it has all the different weights, and I have plenty of yarn in my stash just sitting waiting for all the other socks in the book. So I reckon if I get this vanilla sock thing down, I'll maybe go back to my baggy green socks and the Rapunzel's Tower ones and get them going again. Moonraker Cowl. I know, I've not mentioned this in ages. I am using Kismet Fiberworks worsted weight, and it's called Abundant, and it's a very purple. And it's 80% superwash merino, 10% cashmere, 10% nylon. There's 230 yards for 100 grams, and it was a gift to me. I can't remember who from, and I'm really sorry. It was looking at me the other day out the bag, and I thought on Friday, should I write a podcast or knit? And as I said, what's the crack? Sorry, listeners, I knitted. And I watched a video podcast because I'm still trying to watch all the video podcasts that are going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and I'm pretty much caught up with all the audio ones, but I'm still trying to work my way through the video ones and trying to catch 3 episodes each. Some of them I'm enjoying way more than others, and that's perfectly natural, and I'm quite sure that people would find that with me as well. If you're trying a new podcast, either video or audio, please do give them 3 episodes. I wouldn't actually suggest you use the ones over the Christmas period either, because they seem to be roundups or Christmas orientated, and if you're listening in June, you don't want to hear about that, do you? Unless you're Christmas orientated, and then you do. Do what you want, Liz. Don't let me manipulate you. And I was knitting as much as I could in the Moonraker Carol, and I'm using beads as part of the pattern. I got a bit wrong. But it's okay. I don't think we'll notice. It's going to be a bit bigger than the fingering weight version that I have already, which was made for me by the lovely Perplexed. But do you know, I don't mind. I took a photograph of both of them, not at the same time, I think I just took a picture separately, and the purple just disappeared. It turned into kind of brown. You know that wee purple can look different shades when you take photographs of them, depending on what background you're sitting on. I thought that was quite interesting. I'm pleased with it though. I like the way that the yarn is working out, and Corky Magster asked how I got the beads onto the yarn on Instagram. There's 2 ways that I can think of doing this just now. One is to indeed thread them all on before you start, and you do this by threading a thin beading needle with a loop of thread. This loop goes over the very end of the yarn so that they're hooked together. So you've got your yarn in one being one fish hook type thing without a barb, and your loop of thread on your needle on the other. So what you do is you thread your needle with beads, and then you pull them over the thread loop up onto the yarn where it's attached to it, and you keep going until you have enough beads on your yarn, and you keep pulling them up the length of yarn. When you get to your bead stitch, when you're knitting it, then you pull one bead stitch down and you keep moving the beads along. But when you say you've got over 70 beads for a project, and the process of threading them on weakens the yarn, plus you have to keep pushing up the beads and pulling them down, pushing them up and pulling them down, and that can slow your progress. And if you haven't put enough on near the end, you're in trouble. I did this for a crochet handbag years ago, and the way I'm doing it now is with the crochet hook method, and you get to the stitch that needs the bead knitted, and I have a metal sized 0.75mm crochet hook, and it's quite little, but it goes through my beads and it also will manage to hook the yarn. So you need beads with quite a big middle in the inside eye, and you firstly hook onto the bead, onto the crochet hook, so your bead is sitting on the crochet hook, and then you hook the yarn onto the stitch and you pull the yarn through the bead hole, and the bead is going down and it sits like a wee scarf on the bottom of the stitch. This can be a little tricky if the yarn is thick or the bead has a small hole. If it is, you have to rethink your life. Rethink your project in the yarn or the bead or the crochet hook. You could rethink your life too if you need to. And you can do this with a small jewellery making tool too, which is a kind of the same method, but you pick up lots and lots more beads at one go. For your beads themselves, you may wish to have them lying flat on something like a small plate with a small lip to keep them on from rolling away, but it lies out flat and it's easier to pick up. When embroidering, I'd use a plate with a piece of velvet material because the beads like just to sit on the velvet. I use a tiny wee plate that I nicked from Daisy's tea set for her dollies. I have to keep it hidden because when she sees it, she nicks it back. Even though she has lots of plates, her dollies must be very hungry. I was also using their Kindle the other day because they have a cover on their Kindle which, if they drop it, it sort of rubberizes it and it stops the beads rolling off the edge. Then they came home from school and wanted the Kindle, so I was handed a DVD case, but my current beads are square rather than round and they don't roll away easily. I don't think that I'm actually going to have enough beads for this project, but I'm not actually bothered about that right now. In Sewing Corner, I finished the last of my cushions for my sitting room using the Harris Tweed and Tweed from Scotch Tweed. I'm not sure I told you or not, I can't remember. I have told you about cushions and appliqué and stuff, but I can't remember if I told you if I finished them. Because I had made 3, I have now made 4. I applied on two more dog shapes, and Buchel likes to put his head on them if he's on the couch. Like now, for instance. He's doing a good impression of a cushion. He makes me smile. Like, speaking of smiling, hi Tanya, I'm smiling at you. It's Smile at Tanya from TJ Frog section of my podcast. Everyone smile at Tanya. She's in India just now. No, not in a creepy way. She's just someone that you meet, you smile at her, like Catherine Lamer. Smile. Now, if they came on the bus or the train, you'd be putting your hand up and going, come sit with me. And they would probably do the, oh no, there's Louise again. They do the smile of, oh, we're going to sit. No, they're lovely people. Crocheting. I started and finished a sloth by the Twisted Crochier, which is a free pattern. I've been doing these whilst waiting on Sandy and his millions of swimming times a week, so I got a fair bit done. I'd be finished, but the person it's meant for appeared twice. I normally love speaking to her and think, oh, I wish Julie was here. I heart to speak to her, and then when I was making something for her in a sort of secret, pff, there she was. So I kept putting it away. I was really guilty. She'll be laughing when I give it to her just later. Anyway, I'm using a turquoise yarn from a stash and a lilac yarn from stash for the sloth's face.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy sections. The shop has currently got, not very much, a Macmillan, Robertson, a Grant. That's it. Oh, and there's some silk scarves in there too. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of a podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that is your want. That is paypal.me/Caithness Craft. I'm very happy to review your patterns or books or yarns or notion. If in that line, don't be shy.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening, especially you listeners, especially you medium-term listeners, and especially you all-time listeners. I really appreciate each and every one of you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. I will add that all opinions are mine and sometimes Richard. I do occasionally get facts wrong, but I really try not to. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can get the podcast itself from Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The intro is from Free Music Archive and it's called Entertainment for the Brain Dead by a Friend. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.